Tara is a second-year doctoral student at the University of California, San Francisco. While she was earning her Master's of Science and nursing degree, she conducted primary community-based research. Her primary responsibilities during that time included tool development, consenting of participants, tool administration, data entry, and statistical analyses. Well, additionally, she has international research experience conducting focus groups and collected biomarkers and specimens. And today she'll be presenting to us a project entitled Risk Factors That Contribute to a Decreased Likelihood of Obtaining a Pap smear screening. Please join me in welcoming to the podium Tara.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, and thanks for attending this session. First of all, this research was conducted jointly between myself and Angel James, who's sitting in the front row taking pictures. And today I'm going to be speaking to you about the risk factors that contribute to a decreased likelihood of obtaining a Pap screening. The objectives for our talk today are to identify how cervical Pap screening has decreased mortality rates from cervical cancer, to list risk factors associated with the decreased likelihood of obtaining a cervical Pap screening for women in California, and to describe the types of knowledge regarding HPV that, if lacking, may predict a woman's decreased likelihood of obtaining a Pap screening. So what do we know about the Pap screening? We know that since it was first introduced in the 1950s, there was a widespread decrease in the incidence of cervical cancer. And we also know that certain women who are at risk are not obtaining their Pap screening. This would specifically be women who are self-identified as Black, Hispanic, Latina, Asian. And what else do we know about cervical Pap screening? Decreased screening rates in certain groups have been suggested as a cause of mortality disparities related to cervical cancer, and that knowledge regarding HPV may influence the likelihood of whether or not women are getting screened. And what we're specifically seeing in the literature is that women who believed that cervical cancer was related to a health condition, such as menopause, genetics, my mom had it, I'm going to have it, even in an abortion, they were less likely to get Pap screened, as well as women who believed that getting rest and avoiding stress was more important than getting Pap screened. So why do we care about this? We care because we know that Pap screening is an incredibly effective tool to decrease cervical dysplasia and hopefully prevent women from getting cervical cancer. So the purpose of our study was to determine if knowledge regarding HPV was related to the likelihood of obtaining a cervical Pap screening for women in California. We collected data from the 2007 Adult California Health Interview Survey, which is also known as CHIS. CHIS is the nation's largest state health survey. It's conducted every 2 years. The response rate on it is approximately 50,000. And what it ends up being is a very good picture of the diverse population within California. And we were specifically interested in women who responded to our study objectives. So that brought our N down to 1,666 with an age range of 16 to 80 years old. And we based our predictor and our outcome variables from questions that were in the CHIS survey. And these questions ended up being statistically significant. Our outcome variable question was, have you ever had a Pap test to check for cervical cancer? And our predictor variable questions were the following. Do you think HPV can go away on its own? And do you think HPV causes AIDS? We also examined other covariates. They included self-identification of race based on the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research defined categories. We looked at marital status. We looked at insurance status. And we ended up performing a multivariate logistic regression. Our outcome variable was ever having obtained a Pap screening, which was dichotomous, yes, no. And we looked at various predictor and covariate variables. All of these variables I'm going to mention to you we picked because of what we saw in the literature. So for our demographic variables, looking at race and ethnicity, we used white as the reference group. And we looked at Latina, Pacific Islander, American Indian, Asian, and African American, and other. The next two slides I'm going to show you is just charts. They break down our predictors and our covariates, which again included marital status, urban versus rural, insurance status, health status, and poverty level. In addition to these, we also controlled for income, health status, or general well-being, I should say, as well as urban versus rural, which ended up not being statistically significant. And just again, we used the CHIST data to drive our research questions. So we looked through the data. We were interested in specific questions that pertained to HPV knowledge than to use in our analysis. So these were the questions that we picked from the survey to address HPV knowledge, which included, does HPV go away on its own? Does HPV cause AIDS? Have you ever heard of the vaccine? Can you get HPV through sexual contact? And does HPV cause cervical cancer? And what we found in the full model, significant risk factors that predicted never having had cervical pap screening included being self-identified as Asian, lack of HPV knowledge, belief that HPV caused AIDS, being unmarried, and an uninsured status. So based on our analysis, we can say that lack of knowledge regarding HPV is a significant predictor of not obtaining a cervical pap screening for women in California. In the CHIST sample, we found that Asian women were significantly less likely to obtain a pap screening than other women in the sample. And both unmarried and lacking uninsured status also significantly predicted not obtaining a pap screening. So what is going on here? These are some of Angel and some of our thoughts. We're both clinicians. We both work with patients, and we had some nice discussions about how to really interpret these results. So lack of knowledge. These two questions in particular were statistically significant. So not knowing if HPV caused AIDS increased the risk of not obtaining a pap screening. And why could that be? Is it potentially related to fear, a general lack of sexual and reproductive health knowledge, and believing that HPV does not go away on its own when compared to women who did believe it went away on its own? So is this a mechanism that we're dealing with fatalism? There's nothing I can do about it, so I might as well do nothing. Or perhaps it's more related to a lack of consensus among the experts about how HPV actually clears from the body, if it clears. There's some misconception, some bad information trickling down, which is creating mistrust between clinicians and patients. We're not entirely sure at this point. This was interesting. Our findings were consistent with what's in the literature, which is that self-identified Asian women are less likely to get screened. And being unmarried significantly increased the risk of not getting a pap, which was interesting because previous research has not found this to be a significant predictor. And again, is this have something to do with lack of access? So younger women not being married, maybe age is a factor here, and we didn't control for age in this. So is age confounding that, meaning like you're young, you're not getting married, you're young, you're not within the appropriate screening guidelines, so you're less likely to get screened? And then looking at being uninsured significantly increased the risk of not obtaining a pap screening. And again, is this a proxy for access? Though it's interesting because remember, this was a sample of women in California. California has something which is called the California Family Pack, and essentially men and women who are capable of reproduction are included in this coverage, and our sample included both menopausal age women as well as older women, which could have confounded some of our results. And if you're not able to reproduce, those are both two exclusion criteria for obtaining Family Pack. And we feel that it needs additional investigation. So some limitations to our studies. We did not control for Medicare and Medicaid. However, as I just mentioned, California does have Family Pack, which is a type of state aid program. We did not control for sex education, which is actually really has the potential, I think, we think, to be really interesting. California is one of the states that has a mandatory sex ed requirement for people within public school. And if we're really interested in looking at HPV knowledge, then we need to control for women who were educated in California versus women who were not. However, that's probably not going to be enough. We need to take that one step further. We need to look at nativity status as well as some estimation as when these other women immigrated into California to really get a sense of getting a handle on the knowledge that's out there. And then, as I sort of already mentioned, we did not control for age. Age has a way of confounding many things: marital status, knowledge, insurance status, income. So some of these results need to be thought about. And I'll also say, I don't know if you noticed the confidence interval on being unmarried, which came out as being very wide. And Angel and I talked about this, and we feel like that result really needs to be interpreted with some level of caution for, we think, primarily these two reasons. First, that could be a result of how we collapse the data, which could add to the wide confidence interval, as well as there could have just been fewer observations within the data set. So moving forward, what we would like to do is to rerun the analysis, controlling for some of the confounders that I've mentioned to you here, and really focus on two points. One, we're interested in the mechanism that connects HPV knowledge to decreased screening, and really trying to define what's going on there, as well as looking at types of education, what works, and in what population of women is it working. We would like to acknowledge Dr. Mary Barger, Dr. Carol Dawson Rose, and Dr. Lisa Thomas for their support and encouragement. Very helpful. And finally, our references. And I'd be happy to take any questions from the audience. Sure, go ahead. Yes, we have that. Sure.
I'm gonna ask our presenters to repeat the question for the benefit of those. It's being audio recorded, so I'm just going to ask our presenters to repeat the question when an audience member asks you.
Oh, certainly. Yep. So the question was, are we able to break down the types of Asian options within the survey? And the answer to that question is yes. But what happens is the breakout is very small. But they list, maybe you can help me out with the number, there's like 20, 25 different options that women can self-identify with.
You said it wasn't
one specific Asian population that was more significant if they weren't being screened versus another group? We ended up collapsing the entire group because the numbers were small, but one thing that we have talked about between us is when we rerun the analysis is to look into that a bit further. Because we know that there is literature out there that supports specific groups of Asians, including one of our presenters up here today, that says that they are more at risk than others. Yes? So the question is asking about insurance status and at what interval the pap screen was obtained and how current insurance status potentially affects if and when you ever received a pap. Is that correct?
I'm just asking whether or not current insurance status has any relevance to, can it be assumed to be indicative of your insurance status when you make a pap screen?
I would say yes. However, one thing Angel and I talk a lot about is that in California, there is this idea of a family pack. So theoretically, insurance status should not matter because women who are capable of reproduction can get their pap screening free of charge. But there's still a high number that aren't. So I hear what you're saying, and I think it's a really interesting question. Any other questions?
I have one quick question for
sure.
You guys. Did you get an opportunity to look at acculturation or immigration in your analyses? For example, California residents that might have immigrated recently and how that affects their knowledge about screening practices in the United States versus in their homelands?
Thank you for not asking me to repeat the question. That is not something we looked at in this analysis, but moving forward, that's something Angel and I would like to address, especially as we start to break apart what it means to measure HPV knowledge and that relationship to getting a PAP screen. And like I said, in California, there is reproductive health education going on. So we would need to somehow quantify that and then control for it. But your specific question, we did not look at it for this, but it's what we want to look into moving forward. Great. Thank you.
Church works.